The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. I know you guys want to talk about Eurovision, and we definitely are going to be talking about Eurovision, but I wanted to start by talking about BT Deutsch, this amazing Haredi marathon runner.
Yes.
Won the Riga half marathon over the weekend in 1 hour and 17 minutes. Okay, this is like off the planet. And she's training for the Olympic Games next year.
It's like, oh my word, we've got a Jewish athlete.
Exactly. And not only Jewish, that, she's Haredi.
A Haredi Jewish athlete. Like, how is this even possible?
This lady is really something else. She's a mother, I think, of five children.
Amazing.
29 years old, lives in Harnof in Jerusalem.
Oh, my
of course, runs in modest clothing, head covering, skirt, long sleeves, the whole thing. 1 hour and 17 minutes for a half marathon, winner
That's insane.
Her first international competition. This is just like a really, really crazy. And the Olympic Games next year in Tokyo is looking very interesting for her. This is going to be something to watch.
Messianic times, Anthony. There's no question about it. That there's a Jewish athlete winning marathons. I don't know.
No, but running in running. Her from garb.
And in
Absolutely.
Her modest attire. It's unbelievable. Incredible. Mm. Absolutely.
So now we can talk Eurovision. There's a lot to talk about.
Roger,
people can't stop talking about it here, I have to tell you.
Look,
everybody's still talking about it. It's in every newspaper, everything.
The two things that I'm happy about. One is that Game of Thrones has ended, and then the next thing is that Eurovision is finally over. Both of those, I can't tell you. I'm upset to see.
Well, they were saying Madonna, actually, her outfit could have been used in Game of Thrones.
Look, Madonna, I don't know, appalling. But Anthony, so we've just been chatting about it, and basically the way Dean and I are summarizing it here, and I think we're pretty much on the same page, is that technologically, stage setting, the whole process was absolutely magnificently carried out. The whole postcard section was beautiful and showcased Israel fantastically. Gal Gadot was magnificent in her 3 minutes of Tel Aviv. The content was appalling. I thought the hosts were vile. I can't believe that this is the best that Israel has to offer. Just because you're a good looking gay guy doesn't mean you're appropriate as the best host that the country has to offer. Just because you're a supermodel doesn't mean that you can lead. I thought it was frankly embarrassing. I thought Madonna was appalling. I mean, I don't think we expect more from the countries because Eurovision has always been terrible.
I've always loved it.
So the question is, Howard, was this just a bog standard Eurovision affair with exact content that one would expect from Eurovision? You know, having watched so many Eurovisions over the years and learned that this is not something that I necessarily want to watch again sometime soon, this is kind of what Eurovision is about, and this is why people love to hate it. And this is why so many people watch it, so they can slag it off as quickly as possible, because that's what seems to be what Eurovision is about. Everybody, you know, it reminds me of you know, the people, when you talk to people in the United States about who voted for Trump, then nobody seems to own up. And this is the same with Eurovision. Nobody watches Eurovision except that everybody knows what happened.
Exactly.
Down to the last
And they know they can hum along to the songs.
Exactly. Well, you can't hum along to
them. But actually, speaking of which, I don't love the winning song. It was not my favorite song.
I don't love any of the songs.
I don't mind Italy, actually.
No, I didn't
one
mind
thing
Italy.
I will say,
I actually
though,
hoped Italy was a good one.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will say is that away from the stage and from the TV cameras and from all that kind of stuff was an amazing atmosphere in Tel Aviv. They set up like a village in Charles Claude Park, which is just near to Jaffa, along the coast, along the boardwalk. And there were tens of thousands of people who turned up not only for the event on Saturday night, but who've been gathered there throughout the week. The contestants themselves have seemed to have had a great time attending events in Tel Aviv and being hosted by people in Tel Aviv and the city itself. There was a Laila Lavan on Thursday night, the White Night, which is an annual event, which this year was held to coincide with the Eurovision on Thursday night, where things stayed open the whole night and there was activities and there were, events and bands and music and museums and things going on all night in Tel Aviv. So it really did showcase Tel Aviv in the way that Tel Aviv loves to be showcased, which is the party city, the city with lots and lots of action. We saw a little bit from what Gal Gadot presented, but really that was just the tip of the iceberg, because, you know, the next thing that will happen is that we're going to have the Gay Pride Parade, and we're going to have another, you know, event with tens and thousands of people coming from abroad to have parties and to celebrate Tel Aviv. And, you know, some people were saying with tongue in cheek this morning that we have to thank the religious for preventing the Eurovision from taking place in Jerusalem, because actually it was enormously successful in Tel Aviv, and this is really where Tel Aviv blossoms. So, you know, I think that away from the cameras and away from the terrible content and the questionable outfits, there was really an amazing atmosphere in the city.
Rene says, don't forget there are lots of people who love the hosts. I for one, they are so Israeli. All right, and Mervyn says, Madonna is past her sell-by date.
But she does look amazing.
I'm not even sure she's past her sell-by date.
Have you seen her? Her face is phenomenal. No, it's amazing what Botox incredible. And fillers and
I just wonder whether it still looks 40. Like what it used to look so many years ago. You know, I'm not sure if it's the same face that we remember.
Oh, definitely not. There's not even
it's actually, you know what, you guys are being very harsh. She is very into Kabbalah, and it's very, very much her inner peace. It's her spiritual inner peace that absolutely, she's found.
Radiates.
She's found the fountain of youth. In Sfat, apparently.
In fairness to Madonna, and in spite of the terrible incident with the dancers turning around and the flags on their backs and all the rest of it, I mean, I have to give credit to Madonna, because she came under a lot of pressure about appearing at this particular event, and she fought against it, and she really came out publicly saying that nobody is going to dictate to her what she needs to do. No BDS campaigner is going to try and convince her not to come along, and to be fair to her, she really stood her ground, and she came and she performed. You know, you love her or you hate her. You didn't like the flags on the back of the dancers.
I have to tell you, I was so unoffended by that. I know that we were meant to be outraged. I just genuinely couldn't muster up the energy.
Yeah,
so and also, I don't think you could see it, to be honest. Yeah.
Howard, I think that your reaction mirrors the reaction of many people, because that little event, which did offend a lot of people, seems to have kind of just been drowned out by the enormity of everything else that went on the night and during the week. And I think that that was just one little incident where if you didn't have all of the other things going on and the whole positive atmosphere and the really good positive PR that Israel and Tel Aviv got from the event, I think that that incident might have been a lot bigger than it ultimately turned out to be.
I also think that we have to be careful not to not to give these things too much life. The more life you give it, the bigger it becomes. Absolutely.
And I don't think, unless you actually saw it in the press afterwards, I don't think many people watching the show actually saw it.
Oh, Ansan says, please let Anthony talk. There's 3 exclamation marks. We want his views. Well, there we go. A good Monday to
talking,
you.
Haven't you?
A very good Monday to you too. Anthony, can we just talk about the ANC response to the interview with Zev Kringle? Now this has been published, I see, across Israeli newspapers as well. What view is the Israeli press taking on this issue? And if you want to give us a bit of background here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not quite sure how much you guys have discussed this, but Zev Kringle had this interview with the Jerusalem Report, I believe. I don't know if I'm allowed to do
it. Jewish Report, I think it is.
In it, he said he was quite critical of the International Relations Minister Lindiwe Sisulu, and was critical about the decision to downgrade the embassy, the South African embassy in Tel Aviv, which apparently has not taken place. So this is something that's been published a lot, but according to what Zev Kringle is saying, the actual act of downgrading the embassy, even though it's been spoken about a lot and has been publicized as if though this has already happened, has not actually already happened and is still in the process of happening. But what Zev Kringle went on to say is that the South African Jewish Board of Deputies actually pleaded with the Israeli Prime Minister's office not to recall this Israeli ambassador from South Africa. And he said that they advised the Prime Minister's office that that course of action would be playing directly into the radicals' hands and doing exactly what the BDS movement in South Africa would want to see. And then he went on to say that as far as he's concerned, Israel has been incredible to the local Jewish community, those are Zev Kringle's words. And then the ANC have come out criticizing that, saying that this is an attempt to somehow drive a wedge between various leaders within the ANC. And then really coming out to support Lindiwe Sisulu and her point of view and the decision that she has expressed in terms of downgrading the South African embassy in Israel and being very, very critical of Israel. And I just want to read a little quote that comes from the ANC's response to Zev Kringle, and they write as follows. It remains our considered view that Israel must be part of a solution towards peace and human dignity for the Palestinian people, and that such is not a religious or tribal matter, nor is it directed at any group or religion. And then they were very, very critical, saying that the Palestinian question and Sisulu's views on the Palestinian question are entirely consistent with the position of the ANC, and that her integrity is beyond reproach, and that she enjoys the respect of millions of South Africans as well as leaders from many nations. But the comments that they made about Israel and what goes on within the Palestinian area was very worrying for me, because it contained so many inaccuracies, and it contained so much political there's so much emotion, political emotion in the statement that they've made, because it really just says, you know, the downgrading of the South African embassy is a practical act of solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine in the face of the injustices meted out by a powerful war machine against mostly civilians. So this was a statement that the ANC has made. And of course, you know, we know that if the Palestinians really wanted peace and really wanted to live side by side with the Jews living in Israel, that would have been achieved already a long, long time ago, because that is really Israel's position on things, that we do want the two states for two people solution. The Israeli government has said that numerous times, even though in recent months we know that they've somewhat backed away from it. And the reason for that is that there's really no party on the other side to receive that point of view, to receive that proposal. And so, you know, the statements that have been made by the ANC for me are particularly worrying, because they create they contain so many inaccuracies, and they create this emotion and this feeling that, you know, Israel is the offending party, and the only action that a government like the South African government has to take is to downgrade its embassy in order to send a message. And I think that that's particularly incorrect, untrue, false, and very, very misleading. And for those people listening who feel that that might reflect what goes on the ground, people should really be able to assess that for themselves, rather than to believe these false words which are being uttered at the moment in these statements by the ANC.
And of course, Anthony, if you were looking for any form of indication as to the level of knowledge that the ANC and the Foreign Office here does have, is that it wasn't so long ago, in fact it was last year, that Lindiwe Sisulu's department demanded that Israel withdraw immediately from Gaza.
Right. So, I mean, I think not only is there a lack of knowledge and a lack of facts on the ground to enable those who are listening to these statements to really trust and believe them, and to feel that they come from a place where research has been done and people know what's going on. But clearly there is an agenda that's being pursued here, which is exactly what Zev Kringle was trying to say in the interview that he gave to the Jewish Report. There is an agenda, and that agenda will be pursued no matter what. And I think that we just need to understand that it doesn't really matter at this stage what Israel does, because the Palestinians on their side are not interested in any actions that are taken by Israel in order to par the way to peace, because what they really want is a situation where the Jews and Israel are not here. And by the same token, it seems to me as if the Lindiwe Sisulu and perhaps other people within the ANC are going to continue to criticize Israel no matter what positive actions are taken.
Absolutely. And just FYI, I have been chatting, not on the air, off air, to Zev Kringle. And he obviously would, this isn't his first choice of how to deal with any of these situations on a confrontational basis. But unfortunately, sometimes we have to, the community has to also indicate that they are not going to be intimidated by the rhetoric, and that they have a voice, and that they are, although sensitive to many of the issues, are not afraid to use it. Anthony Reich, that's unfortunately where we leave it. We have run out of time. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. Dina Diamond, thank you for staying extra. It was an important part of the discussion. And thank you.
My pleasure.
Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
And you, I'm going to go run off.